This is the DX Audio Service.
This portion of Market Scope is brought to you by radio. Without your radio, you couldn't make an air check.
Hi, DXers and radio aficionados. Welcome to the DX Audio Service Market Scope, where we left you last month in Miami after a look at Miami's AM dial. As you might guess, we flipped the band switch and again joined Mike Lance poolside with his Pina Colada.
Now, let's move to the FM dial. By the way, we're doing this kind of quickly because I want you to get a little feel of what Miami radio sounds like. Should you have any further questions, I will give you information of how to get in touch with me at the end of this Market Scope. Now let's move to FM. The first station is 107.5, and their call letters are, believe it or not, WAMR, Radio Amor. Now, believe it or not, there's a station on 1320 in the Venice, Florida, St. Petersburg, Tampa area. Their call letters are WAMR, and they're no relation whatsoever. WAMR-AM is a sports station, but this is what WAMR-FM at 107.5 sound like. Now, next on the list is 106.7. Radio Romanza, 106.7, WRMA. They used to be Radio Tropics, and they were WGLO, and they were originally, years ago, WFTL. They are out of Fort Lauderdale, and they are a Spanish station. Their call letters are WRMA, Romanza, 106.7, and this is what they sound like. Moving on to Big 106, 105.9. Big 106 is classic rock. They were the original WAXY-FM. They were an oldie station for a long time. And for a while, they were running hits of the 70s. And this is what Big 105.9 sounds like.
Big 106, South Florida's classic rock has the lowdown on South Florida concerts. Dial up the Big 106 Classic Rock Concert Line, 305-999-6253. Get the straight scoop on all the classic concerts in South Florida, from the biggest shows to the most intimate of clubs. If it's classic rock and it's live, find it on the Big 106 Classic Rock Concert Line, 305-999-6253. Brought to you by Public Supermarkets on Classic Rock, Big 106.
Now, next is, well, let me tell you. Okay, gang, we have a bunch of pirate stations in the South Florida area, but I'm not going to play them because they're a little risque. They actually use four-letter words on the air, and they cuss. So next we go to 105.1. Now, I believe they're owned by Cox Broadcasting, and their call letters are WHQT Hot 105. And they play South Florida's best hits and oldies. And they are an urban contemporary station, kind of a soft black AC format, and this is what they sound like.
Until then, see everything remain the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm a bad man. I'm a bad man. Yeah.
Not ashamed.
Not ashamed. No, no.
Now that's Hot 105.1. Now we go to 104.3, Sunny 104.3 out of Palm Beach, and they play a mix of yesterday and today, and this is what they sound like.
Jamie, welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight. I understand that your heart's kind of broken right now.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I have called you before about my manager, Christina.
Uh-huh.
And I found out about a week ago that she was going to be going somewhere that was going to be like 5 hours away, and she's been transferred to another company. I'm sad to see her go because I've known her for so long, and now she's just going to be like gone, and I won't have anybody there that I can talk to or...
So your heart's really heavy.
Yeah.
All right. Let me find a goodbye song for you, Jamie.
We move to 103.5, Mega 103.5. It's a disco station. They just went disco. They used to be the original hard rock station in Miami, one of them, at 103.5. Their call letters were WSHE. Now they are WMGA. Mega 103.5, and they're owned by Clear Channel, and this is what they sound like.
Miami's gem in 80s and 70s.
The all-new
Mega 103.5.
Now we move to 102.7, Magic 102.7, and their good times and great oldies, WMXJ, and this is what they sound like. Next is 101.5, Light 101.5, and Magic, WMXJ, and 101.5, Light 101.5, WLYF, are owned by the same company. They're owned by Jefferson Pilot, and this is what Light 101.5 sounds like. Move to 100.7, Y100, WHYI out of Fort Lauderdale, and they are a big force in the area of broadcasting down here. They're owned by Clear Channel, and this is what they sound like.
Don't know how it got to this point.
And now we so rudely interrupt this Market Scope to let you know we will be back next month to finish out Miami's FMs. Thanks, Mike. Merry Christmas to you and all our NRC and DXAS members. Oh, Mike, please be sure you get Lexi a nice bone for Christmas. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Phil Wayne, and now musings for and from the members.
Who let the dogs out?
The musers.
Who let the dogs out?
The musers. This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the Action Line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day.
Greetings, DXers. Mark Sternberger here from our new home in Grand Junction, Colorado, on the western slope of the Rockies. I don't know if you were paying attention to the last couple of my Clear Channel columns. I know I wasn't, obviously. I mentioned the last 12 Clear Channels to be broken down, and then proceeded to count off 13 frequencies. And I did this 2 months running. So since I obviously can't count past a dozen, I'm punishing myself by hiding in a corner until the January edition, and we'll let Fred assign my December airtime to someone who can count. So have a great holiday season. We'll see you in January. We've got a great lineup of interviews and air checks on the Clear Channel band scan, part of the DX Audio Service, and we'll see you next year.
Hello, my fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario, just returned tonight from Tonawanda, New York, from the 30th anniversary show to celebrate a great country music radio station, WXRL in Lancaster, New York, which is going to double its power to 5,000 watts sometime this winter. Leroy Van Dyke and Kenny Roberts were there and put on a great show in honor of my friend Bramble and Lou Shriver, who owns the station, and his family. And we have quite a bit going on up here. 740 has been heard testing the Oakville station that is going to take it over this winter. I enjoyed the WMAQ on the last tape also, and I picked up KFAB in Omaha, Nebraska this last Friday morning, close to 7:30, clear as a bell. I'm glad the WCCO has the Minnesota Wild games. I'm sorry to hear that KMOX lost the St. Louis Blues games, and the WJR will no longer be carrying the Detroit Tigers or Detroit Red Wings games. I can receive email at dbruceaa@hotmail.com. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Milam from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, reporting a format change. After running religious programming for several months and having added WTRU to their list of radio stations, Salem Media of North Carolina has made a format change to WCOG, 1320 AM, and it has now become a Radio Disney affiliate. They had been promoing 830 for several weeks, and I'm not certain as to the actual date of the change, but it has been made probably sometime in the last week or so, I believe. That's it for now. 73's and good DX.
Hi there, this is Mike Lance from Miami Beach, Florida, and I agree with Scott Frybush. We need more local radio. We hardly have any local news down here in Miami, and all you get is a lot of either brokered programming down here, or you do get some news, for example, like 6 to 9 on WIOD, News Talk Radio 610, News Radio 610, they call it now. And then again, from 3 to 7, and there's hardly any local news in Miami, and they just branch over the story really, really quickly. Also, in other news, nobody knows yet what's going to happen with 93.1 WTMI. They have been sold to Cox Broadcasting. They're still classical, but who knows what happened with them. Question, what did WTRY, the great 98 in Troy, New York, become? And also, I'd like to hear more stories about old radio stations and maybe some tapes about what radio stations used to be formerly than what they are now. Okay? Thank you very much, and thanks for the great DX Audio service.
This is Tim Hendel. I'm really puzzled as to why the Major League sports teams in Detroit would leave WJR. This seems very odd to me. Is it a question of they're not wanting to pay what WJR demanded? Or is it a question of WJR wanting to be free of sports to have more possibility to do their own thing without the constraints of sports teams? Certainly WXYT, which I think is on 1270, can't possibly give them the coverage, especially at night. It seems to me that Major League Sports and 50,000-watt stations just go together. So can anybody shed any light on that? Also, I want to point out on the October, rather than November DX audio service, that ID from WHAM, which Mark Durenberger recorded in Iowa, is that not the perfect ID? Now, just why can't all stations ID, if not as good as that, at least legally? That is just a wonderful ID. Go back and listen to that.
Hi, Fred. This is Kevin McGill calling from Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm responding to, pardon me here, an opinion you expressed on the October DXAS on the Media Network. I personally happen to agree with you on what you said. Computers have their place, but when they start taking over radio, no. I just thought I'd let you know that I agree with you wholeheartedly. Catch you later. Bye-bye.
Hello, DXers. This is TJ the DJ from DeKalb, Illinois. And number one, happy holidays to all the members of the DX Audio Service and everyone connected with it. And Fred, especially, happy holidays to you and all and your family. And I wanted to ask you, Fred, these stations that have these code names like Magic and Kiss and all that, what are they trying to convey? For instance, a station that played oldies in Chicago, WJMK, they used to call themselves Magic 104, but they just played oldies. What's magic about that? Kiss FM, Big City Radio, bought out of WDEK in DeKalb, and now they're calling themselves Kiss FM, to Chicago station that they are simulcast, that they are feeding to DeKalb. What's special about that? They're just playing top 40 music. Stations that call themselves Power This and Power That. What are they trying to convey? Maybe you can answer that for me, Fred. Number two, I want to request a jingle if you can play it again. You played it a couple of years ago, and I like it. It's an old WGH jingle. And in the jingle, they say WGH, then they say double clutching, chicken plucking, ever grooving, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. And it's lyrics like that. And I like that jingle. I was trying to request it. I asked for it back in the when you played it a couple of years ago, and I asked for a copy of it from people that might have had it, but I guess they didn't have it. So could you please play it again? I like that jingle. All right, hello, Fred, and all the DXers. TJ the DJ back with you from DeKalb. And I have a pet peeve about AM stations that don't improve their sound quality. For instance, WLBK plays, they're not a music-driven station, but they do play music. And they have local DJs, but when they play the music, the oldies that were in stereo, they're a mono station, but they don't mix the two channels together, so everything sounds off balance. And when you call about and when you call and ask about it, they say, well, they're working on it. They give you a nice brush off, but they're a mono station, but they don't mix the two stereo channels together, so everything sounds off balance. And another thing, pet peeve I have is these corporate buyouts in the radio market. WDEK in DeKalb is now Kiss FM, and they are now they sound like a Chicago FM station. There's no local DeKalb advertising. It's now everything is Chicago's hit music, Kiss FM. And Big City Radio's bought out that station, and there's one in Kankakee, and there's one in Arlington Heights, and all three of them, it's the simulcast, the same, have the same feed. It's Top 40 Rock and Roll, Kiss FM, and I hate that with a passion. I'm just getting everything off my chest. Thanks a lot, Fred. Hey, and I'd like to ask anyone out there, whatever happened to WRNO, a shortwave radio station in New Orleans? They used to simulcast with their FM, and you heard a lot of advertising from New Orleans, and it was a good little rock and roll radio station on shortwave. It was kind of cool listening to that. Does anyone know whatever happened to WRNO?
Hello, my fellow DXers. This is Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, on November the 2nd this year, KDKA Pittsburgh was on the air for 80 years, and they had some wonderful programming that night. I sincerely enjoyed listening to it. I want to give credit, too, to Milo Hamilton, a great sports announcer. He was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago on the night of the 18th, and he made a very special mention of the blind people who have listened to his broadcasts and enjoyed them, and I have had a personal friendship with Milo over the years, going back to when he was broadcasting in Atlanta. I used to listen to him to the White Sox games when I lived in Nashville at one time. Also, I'd like to mention that I can be reached via email at dbruce@hotmail.com. I'm sorry, it's dbruceaa@hotmail.com if any of you want to reach me that way. And I'm certainly enjoying a lot of things to do with radio. The Grand Ole Opry has been on the air 75 years, and there's been some very wonderful programming involving it and the great radio station WSM in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, TJ, I guess the short answer to that is many stations like to use a slogan instead of their call letters, so they might want to call themselves Magic just to get people to remember them. And the practice goes back many, many years. I remember a pop station down in Dayton, Ohio, Wing 1410. And I think a lot of people can remember many different slogans from different radio stations. Although I do think it's kind of gotten out of hand. There's too many foxes, magics, wolves. Just a bunch of barnyard animals, if you ask me. And as far as that one particular jingle from Pam Series 35, I don't have that one handy, but I do have these sitting in the bin that I'm working on right now, and I thought maybe I'd give you a little treat here.
Honey plays the best songs. W-H-N-E.
W-K-L-O. 1080. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Another All-American winner on WKLO in Louisville. The All-American Sound. KILT. Music. 610 in Houston.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Music Station.
WLCC.
Lansing Community College.
You're in big kids' country.
600.
Time's up, 1247 on WTRY.
Around for a listening sound.
Settle down
to the countrywide sound. WJJB 1160.
One of the nicest things about radio. WDAB in Tampa.
DX Audio Service editorial. Here is the chief editor of the DX Audio Service, Fred Vobey.
Since the elections have been held, who has not heard the phrases, "It's only fair," and "the will of the people"? For the past 15 years, I've participated in the art of radio broadcasting, albeit from a distance, since going into television in 1985. However, I've watched and listened from both sides of the fence since 1968 as the corporate broadcaster and the listener. Grade-wise, I give poor grades to most radio broadcasters. The will of the people is to have a radio station that operates in the public interest. Case in point, if a tornado is coming down your street, wouldn't you want to know? Let's ask the people in Xenia, Ohio. If your local school board decides to make changes that affect your public schools, wouldn't you want to know? Just ask us here in Lima. It's only fair that if broadcasters are using what is supposed to be the public's airwaves, yours and mine, that they offer the public something other than 9 in a row and 18 minutes per hour of commercials. I think that it's only fair that stations be responsive to the needs of a community or relinquish their license to someone who is willing. You know, you hear politicians on both sides of the aisle speak of fairness. We all agree that whether or not you are for or against affirmative action, that each American should have a fair chance to participate in a process. Not to be given a handout or a special preferential treatment. You expect a fair opportunity to have a chance. We all know that any one of us trying to buy or start a radio station can't even get our foot in the door. The overinflated prices of radio stations caused by large corporate station ownership have properties at 8 to 12 times their property value. Even brokers admit that unless you have a dozen or more stations already in your stable and $1 million in your pocket, it would be impossible for any lending institution to take you seriously. And suppose you want to start a station from scratch. The Federal Communications Commission, under orders from Congress, say that if you find a frequency, other folks can use your data and research, and the person getting the construction permit for the station is selected from an auction. In other words, you do the work, and someone else who has more cash in his or her pockets takes it away from you. Is that fair? Are you not glad that this is not the selection process for obtaining an apartment, a Braille and Speak, or even a radio? Now, the National Association of Broadcasters, along with their buddies in Congress, are fighting LPFM, or Low Power FM. They say Low Power FM radio is an evil spectrum hog offering nothing to the public. Funny, I could honestly say the same thing about my local translators. All of which offer no public service for my community, no emergency alert system warnings for my county, and are bothered by any requests that I might have for a public service announcement for the community that I live in. Is it fair that a translator operating from some distant location such as Idaho gets special preference over a local station in Lima, Ohio? Is that the will of the people that they not get local news, public affairs, weather, or emergency information that is offered by a low-power FM station or a standard station? Is that a will or someone wielding more power due to financial ability versus what is good for the community? And while I'm taking shots at the Federal Communications Commission, is it fair to other broadcasters that they willfully neglect enforcing their own rules? Is it the will of the people for stations to operate on day facilities during the night, causing interference to other stations? Is it fair to the local and legal broadcaster that plays by the rules that someone whose own bottom line is more important than the law interferes with them? Seems to me like the cops are sitting in the donut shop. When you hear people talk about fairness, remember these 4 points. 1. The selection of a congressional seat was not made by an auction. If it was good for selecting a licensee, perhaps it should be applied to a congressional race. 2. As far as Microsoft goes, you can still write a software program or build a computer and not use their product, yet the Justice Department says that they're a monopoly. Can you deny that radio is not a monopoly of lame public service? 3. And where is the enforcement when rogue broadcasters decide their needs supersede the law? What has happened to that agency who had some credibility in the past 60 or so years? 4. Courts would have a field day if someone prohibited you from applying to rent an apartment or auctioned you the groceries that you need. Broadcasting in America prohibits a person from having a chance. It's reduced public service and safety to an all-time low. Yet there are those in the corporate and government sector that say it's fair and it's the will of the people. So I ask you, is it fair? Whose will is it anyways? The Telecommunications Act of 1996 is unfair and discriminatory. Auctions only prove who has the most money and not the worthiness of a licensee or what good they can do for a community. Public service should be a required benchmark of license renewal. And enforcement of technical rules carries more importance than starting new rulemakings or harassing television stations about digital TV. Write your congressman and or write Chairman Kennard and let them know that changes need to be made, and made quickly. I'm Fred Vobey. Those are my thoughts, and I'd like to hear from you with some comments on a card, letter, email, or on the Musings line.
This is the DX Audio Service, leading the way into the new millennium with noticeably better reception.
The following article was sent in by DX Audio Service member Adam Bouvier and is entitled AM Alive and Well. This article was authored by John Dubinsky, who is operations manager at CJSS-FM and CFLG-FM in Cornwall, Ontario. These days, many stories within the radio broadcast industry deal with companies seeking to dump their AM operations in favor of FM stations. In markets where a company operates an AM-FM combo, the company is usually willing to give up the AM license to operate two FM stations. This scenario was made possible by the 1998 CRTC radio policy regarding MLOs that allows a small market operator to hold up to three radio licenses with a maximum of two on any one band. The policy has resulted in a deluge of applications from owners looking for AM flips in markets where a workable FM frequency is available. It's understandable that most broadcasters want to operate on the FM band rather than on AM. After all, FM is where the clarity is, where good stereo reproduction is virtually guaranteed. Therefore, where all the listeners should be, right? In Cornwall, Tri-County Broadcasting Limited doesn't believe the foregoing conclusion can be entirely true. We operate an AM-FM combo, CJSS-AM and CFLG-FM, Variety 104.5. Like most other AMers, our AM station was losing in all aspects. Ratings were being fragmented between the other 26 FM signals penetrating our market. CJSS simply had to be on the FM band if it was going to compete with other music-intensive stations. Last year, we were successful in converting our AM operations to an FM concern, 101.9 FM, The Blaze. But we've taken the issue one step further and believe ourselves to be one of the first broadcast operations to successfully reapply for the AM frequency we vacated not too long ago. General Manager Paul Vincent believes that an AM station can successfully serve an important segment of the market. He says, quote, "Choose the right format, and the audience and the AM band will work. Many people were raised on AM radio and have no problems listening to an AM station properly programmed for their tastes," said Vincent. Tri-County Broadcasting has two main objectives with the acquisition of a third AM station. The first is to program a nostalgia information format appealing to a 45-plus demographic, a section of audience underserved in eastern Ontario and just about anywhere else. The second is to, quote, fine-tune, unquote, our two FM operations, one country and the other AC, by transferring to the AM station some broadly based service that we, as community stations, should provide, but that really doesn't fit the formats of our music-intensive FM stations. Physically, the infrastructure in Cornwall is already in place since CJSS operated on the AM band for well over 50 years. Before we flipped to FM, the AM transmitter was purring like a kitten. Therefore, its resurrection will entail minimal maintenance. Much of the overhead will be shared by three stations now instead of two. and there's plenty of room in our existing building to provide a third master control. As strange as it may seem, reapplying and securing our AM license is a look into the future as well. Digital radio is here for some, and not that far away for others, and the CRTC has indicated that it will reserve L-band spectrum allocations for each AM and FM operation. In essence, at this point we have assured ourselves of three reservations, pending the applications, in the digital world. Given the quality of digital transmission, which includes CD-like sound plus data casting capabilities, AM versus FM signals become a moot point. The road to our license was not an easy one, as it has been expensive, but we believe the future lies in the successful operation of all three radio stations covering three distinct formats and target audiences. The fact that one of the licenses is an AM license is not a detriment, but a challenge, and we can see the industry headed that way in the future. Tri-County Broadcasting Limited is proud to be there already, and we believe Cornwall and the chunk of Eastern Ontario will be better for it. This article appeared in the September 2000 Broadcast Dialogue magazine and can be downloaded from www.broadcastdialogue.com. Thanks to Adam Bouvier for clipping this out and sending it to us. Matt Drudge is out at ABC Radio. The following was a story written by Howard Kurtz in the Washington Post. When ABC hired cyber gossip Matt Drudge to host a syndicated radio show last year, some top executives, led by the ABC News president himself, tried to block the move. Now the suits have the last laugh. Although Drudge's program has been picked up in 135 markets, including 9 of the top 10, ABC has just fired him. What makes the timing especially odd is that ABC radio executives had been courting Drudge to move from Sunday nights to 5 days a week, until corporate higher-ups overruled them. I see this as a punishment for daring to report on ABC's activities, Drudge says. The whole notion that this is a political payback for my web reporting is an explosive accusation, but I'm willing to make it. ABC spokeswoman Julie Hoover says that the decision was made by Broadcast Group President Bob Callahan, with no involvement by parent company Disney. Sunday night talk shows are just not a good business, she says. We're not going to be in that business anymore. It takes up a lot of your time, but makes very little money. Drudge says that he's never received a complaint about the content of his Sunday show, which is number one in New York in its time slot. Asked if Drudge's reputation was a factor in that decision, Hoover did not respond directly, saying that while ABC News was opposed to Drudge, radio marches to its own drummer. They make the decisions, but it may be more complicated than that, given the desire of radio executives to keep Drudge. In fact, ABC's owned and operated stations want the controversial columnist to continue the show without the network's sponsorship. Still, the program was not a big moneymaker, generating only about $400,000 a year in revenue for ABC. It's not hard to understand why Drudge would be unpopular in ABC and Disney executive suites. He called Don Ohlmeyer, executive producer of ABC's Monday Night Football, a liar for allegedly misleading reporters about whether he had met with Rush Limbaugh as a possible color man for the broadcast. Responded Ohlmeyer, "This is a gossip columnist who doesn't really care what the facts are, and he writes it. And then everyone asks questions about what he writes, and then they have a story." Drudge also obtained a manuscript of a book for Disney's Talk Miramax imprint, saying that it contained sexual information about some investigators involved in President Clinton's impeachment. Talk Miramax soon canceled the Insane Clown Posse, but said Drudge's reports were not the reason. In his book, Drudge Manifesto, the author includes Disney chairman Michael Eisner amongst the, quote, latest incarnation of vampires, unquote, who, quote, have sucked the blood from the fourth estate, leaving behind infotainment formaldehyde, unquote. Drudge's 18-month contract, signed July of 1999, was delayed after ABC's Weston argued that he was reckless. But Jeff Rich, executive vice president of ABC Radio, which operates independently of the news division, countered that Drudge's show would, quote, wouldn't be on the air if it didn't have a great breadth of support within ABC, unquote. After giving up his television show in a dispute with Fox News Channel, Drudge is back to a one-man operation with no links to a major media company. Quote, the air we breathe is free, the airwaves are not, he says. And that story was written by Howard Kurtz in the Washington Post. And before we put the DX Audio Service to bed for yet another year, 2001's going to be here in no time, I'd like to ask our DX Audio Service members to help me out with something. You know, the magazine is primarily driven by the listeners we have. And it's very important that you give me some comments on things that you would like to hear. Otherwise, I'm just guessing what you like to hear. And if I don't hear from you, my guess might not be right. So I like to hear from members and just find out the kind of things that you would like to hear on the magazine, perhaps some thoughts about or ideas about different topics that we haven't done, or maybe even some side projects. You know, we've been thinking about doing like receiver reviews and reviews on antennas. I've even had some suggestions from members talking about doing some articles like on cleaning up old equipment. You know, perhaps you have an old reel-to-reel machine or a cassette machine that you'd just like to kind of fix up, but you don't want to send it into a shop and pay a lot of money for it. But, you know, there's things we can do to fix those things. And I just kind of need your input on things that you would like to hear on the DX Audio Service. Perhaps you want to hear more of John Bowker's travel log, or perhaps maybe some more of these newspaper articles that I just got done reading. Let me know. It's very important. Drop me a card, a letter, email, or perhaps record your comments on a reel-to-reel tape and send it to me so I can hear what you have to say. I know that getting a hold of me via telephone is awful darn hard. With my responsibilities at the television station and also with Allen County, Ohio, it has taken a lot of time away from the studio here for DX Audio Service work. So best time to reach me if you want to get me on the telephone is between 6 and 8 o'clock in the evening and then on the weekends. But give me a call and just let me know what you think about articles that you'd like to hear and stories. And this also goes for After Dark. A couple members have expressed some concern about the fact we haven't put out an After Dark issue. Well, let me tell you on that. The way that After Dark is driven is by contributions from you, the membership. I don't go out and necessarily look for something to put on After Dark. It's when we get enough material, and enough material is dictated by about 3 hours worth total for two cassettes, two C90 cassettes. But as soon as I get enough material to fill up the tapes, then we offer After Dark. And keep in mind that if you do submit something to After Dark, then you get that issue free. Everyone else has to pay for it. So if you'd like to hear more After Darks, I need contributions in the form of either newspaper articles, perhaps something you've taped off the radio. That kind of stuff is very important because not all of us get to share in that. We don't all read the same papers. We don't all hear the same radio shows. So it's very important that, you kind of find that stuff. So anyway, get in contact with me and just, let me know what you see for the future and things you would like to hear discussed. My address here at the DX Audio Service is 706 Mackenzie Drive. That's Mackenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805. Telephone number here in the studio is area code 419-228-4199. The fax number is 419-221-1609. The email address here is fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. And if you're on the web, you can take a look at our webpage at www.nrcdxas.org. And before we skedaddle out of here, just a couple holiday greetings from my family to yours. And we'll see you next year on the DX Audio Service.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Hi, this is Deb Bobby. Happy holidays.
Hi, this is John Bobby. Happy holidays.
Hi, this is Connie Bobby. Happy holidays and a Merry Christmas.
And this is Fred Bobby. Happy holidays and may your DX always be good.
Walking in a winter wonderland. Walking in a winter wonderland. Walking in a winter wonderland.
You know, I think it's about time for a hot toddy. And the more toddy, the better.